Hello, and welcome back to DebtWired. In today's episode, we're joined by Alban Poulon, who is Head of Private Credit at Gravis, to discuss the market in relation to infrastructure and real estate finance. For those that don't know, Gravis is an infrastructure and real estate investment manager based in the UK. With an extensive background in credit and investment management, Alban will share insight into this evolving asset class and its role in shaping future markets. So, Alban, you joined Gravis as its head of private credit last January. So just over a year on, can you tell us how it's going? And what have been some of the highlights of Gravis's private credit activity in the infrastructure and real estate sectors?
Thank you, Amelia, and a pleasure to be here today. As you said, 1 year in the job and it's going very well. I guess moving from a company with 5,000 employees to a firm of 50 employees require a bit of adjustment, but my team is actually larger with 21 people working in direct investment, who are experts and well connected to developers, financial advisors and regulators. So I'm in charge of the oversight of the existing loan book for GCP asset-backed and GCP infrastructures. These two funds are listed on a stock exchange, so the level of reporting and disclosure is much higher than any of the funds I've managed in the past. But it's quite interesting to be involved with the team and having extensive discussion with the board on different topics, such as strategy, capital allocation, portfolio management. I guess another part of my role here at Gravis is to focus on new strategies and particularly on raising a new private credit fund. So in the past year, I've worked on how best to position Gravis in the next phase of growth in the current context. So we started marketing a new private credit fund and expect to have our first close this year. And I really enjoy being involved at the loan levels, origination, monitoring, structuring, but also at the strategy level. So this is what attracted me to the role at Gravis Capital.
What have been some of the most significant developments you've seen in the private credit sector generally in relation to infrastructure and real estate?
In my mind, the most significant development is the fact we see a broader investor base investing in the asset class. So it means private credit keeps growing, but also becomes more sophisticated. So if you take the example of the UK, the key priority of the UK government is to get the pension industry to increase investment in startups and infrastructure projects in order to boost the economy. So this is what we call the Mansion House Pension Reform, where the government is looking to consolidate defined contribution as well as the local government pension schemes. These schemes will be forced to pull more of their assets. So the idea behind that reform is to boost UK economic growth by investing in vital infrastructure projects, including transport, energy and housing. And at the same time, this investment would improve the return for UK's pension savers, as the capital is invested in what we call the more productive asset, so effectively generating a higher return. So the focus is on private equity and venture capital, but we also expect real estate, infrastructures, and private debt to play a key role too. I guess another dominant topic in my mind is we see more sophisticated strategies in private credit, providing liquidity with, for example, more open-ended, evergreen structures or semi-liquid funds. This can help a broader investor base, such as defined contributions, but also retail investors to access that asset class. So this is great to see more types of funds, but we believe private credit remains a buy and hold strategy, so very much suitable for investors with a long-term investment horizon. So with a broader investor base and more sophisticated type of funds and sector, private credit is expected to keep growing fast and is definitely on track to reach this $3 trillion of assets by the end of the decade, compared to 1.7 trillion of assets under management today. Some sources think private credit is already 3 trillion of assets, but regardless of which number you use, we expect demand for private credit to keep growing fast and infrastructure debt to be a core part of this allocation, where investors lack the resilience, capital preservation, recurring income, and investment in the real economy.
What would you say is Gravis's key differentiator from other players in the market?
So we invest in infrastructures across the whole capital structures, from senior debt, mezzanine debt, and equity. So we provide bespoke financial solutions which match best the risk profile of the assets. So in other words, we're happy to go to mezzanine loan and accept a higher leverage if we are comfortable with the predictability of the cash flow. So we have an established 14 track record of being early mover into new sectors when it's less competitive so we can generate higher return. So we land two assets which contribute to the transition to net zero and make a positive social impact on economies. So for example, back in the day, we invested early on onshore wind and rooftop solar, both for biomass, anaerobic digestion, geothermal projects, and most recently in EV chargers, electrical vehicles, and battery energy storage, which are all essentials to decarbonization. For our debt strategy, we particularly focus on loan with credit quality with BB rating category, where we can generate more alpha but still benefit from strong collateral. It's also a less competitive market and less standardized, so we believe this is where we add significant value.
How much of Gravis's book is private credit currently, and are there plans for that to increase?
So if you think about our funds today, they are closed-ended investment trusts. So effectively, the capital doesn't grow. And as the loans mature and get repaid, we reinvest the capital into new loans. So we recycle the capital into more attractive sectors. So overall, we invested 3 billion sterling in infrastructure loans and asset-backed financing, but we have recycled that capital over time. Size of the loan book today is just under 1.5 billion. So with GCP infrastructures reducing equity exposure, so we're focusing the strategies to a debt strategy, combined with the new fundraising, our plan is definitely to increase allocation to private credit with a strong focus on real assets in line with our track records. So we're also working on opportunities for stability mandates. So we expect to capitalize on existing strategies with GCP soon, celebrating 15 years of track record of generating regular, sustained, long-term distribution while preserving capital by lending to this project.
Focusing on the real estate angle, what would you say has been the sector's relationship with private credit until now, and where do you see it going?
So real estate is a sector where we have been particularly active at Gravis, with GCP Children Living, the first real estate fund focusing exclusively on student accommodation, but also with GCP Asset-Backed Fund, which holds investment secured against physical assets or contracted cash flow. Real estate loans account for the largest sectors of the GCP asset backed fund. Since central banks started to increase interest rates in 2022, we have seen a massive slowdown of transactions in real estate debt. So higher rates combined with declining property market, lower yield, banks retrenching completely from the market, CapEx requirements due to ESG regulations, scarcity of new projects, all these factors combined means refinancing for the sector has been very challenging, especially for loans with high loan-to-value. So the majority of the commercial real estate loans come with a five-year maturity, meaning these loans, which were all underwritten when rates were super low back in 2020-2021, have to be refinanced this year and next year. So this is what we call the maturity wall. Longer the rate stays elevated, harder it will be for these loans to be refinanced. It has been especially challenging for the office sector. We're not very much exposed to commercial properties, but much more exposed to residential care homes and social housing, which have stronger fundamentals in our view.
And in terms of refinancing these assets this year, are you seeing a different flavor of interest from lenders or even different names coming up than you did last time?
I think, as I said, the volume of transactions has been quite low. So I guess the focus has been very much on data centers. So digital infrastructures have been the main focus over the last 12 months. But in commercial properties, we haven't seen many deals.
Can you talk about any specific real estate projects or types of real estate that Gravis has been involved in through private credit and which factors made them more attractive?
I will pick up the care home sector as it's a sector where we still have significant exposure. So we have, for example, 60 million of loans secured against a portfolio of four care homes in south of the UK, three of which are operational and one is completing development, so filling up with tenants at the moment. We like the loan as the assets benefit from attractive affluent location with undersupply of high-end care provision. So the portfolio has been resilient and achieved consistently strong occupancy across operational care homes. The operator is experienced and has a very good track record. So at the time, the team at Gravis structured the deal with a maximum limit on loan-to-value, cross-collateralization, meaning all the properties are used as a collateral for the four loans. And more importantly, in my view, the loan is amortizing over time, so you reduce the refinancing risk at maturity.
Pivoting over to the infrastructure aspect of your focus, what would you say are the key similarities and differences between the infrastructure finance market and real estate when approaching from a private credit perspective?
If we start with the key similarities, infrastructures and real estate all part of a what we call real asset. So it's an asset class where, again, Gravis has a strong specialism. Real assets are defined as tangible assets that have intrinsic value due to their physical properties. And infrastructures and real estate loans are typically secured on these physical assets or contracted income. In both cases, it offers inflation protection as rental income is often grows with inflation and very stable income. The main difference are in terms of cyclicality and investment horizon. So real estate aims to be more cyclical and more sensitive to the interest rate environment, while infrastructures is seen as resilient and aims to perform through different economic cycles. It's a great asset class to raise longer-term debt. So my view is having the two sectors in the portfolio makes a great diversification benefit.
What would you say sets your infrastructure fund apart from others in the market? And how do you decide on the key opportunities to pursue within the infrastructure space?
So other investment trusts operating in infrastructures are usually investing in equity, while GCP infrastructures is a debt strategy. I think it's key to make a distinction. This means GCP has a lower risk profile, even we are higher in the capital structures and benefit from downside protection. There is another listed fund investing in debt, but typically with a shorter duration. Again, the main benefit of GCP investing with longer duration is we can lock in high coupon for longer, so we can generate this predictable and long-term income as we did over the last 14 years.
How do you see the relationship between infrastructure finance and private credit? Would you say that infrastructure borrowers are becoming more comfortable with non-bank loans?
Yes, very much. I guess we don't provide the same requirements as with the banks. So, for example, private credit lenders typically provide longer maturities, so which means we are patient capital and much more flexible. I think the banks providing primarily short-dated maturities, floating rates notes, and they have to comply with a certain framework that's definitely less flexible. While in a private credit market, we have ability to provide extra funding in less than 2 weeks, which clearly is impossible in a bank. So I think our borrower really appreciates that flexibility, that speed of execution, and longer duration.
Could you share an example of where Gravis became an early mover in a sector?
So I will mention our rooftop solar transactions, but I guess I could use the example for anaerobic digestion, student living, battery storage, and also where we enter the sector early when returns were more attractive. If we go back to 2011, so quite a while ago, GCP became the first significant backer of domestic rooftop solar projects in the UK through senior loans. Our borrower provided full end-to-end services to customers from installation through maintenance of domestic and commercial solar panel. They invented effectively the free solar panel where the customer received free electricity in exchange of renting the roof for 25 years. Our borrower owns the panel through the 25-year term and is entitled to receive the feed-in tariff, which is a contracted and inflation-linked revenue for 25 years. Our borrower invested in 50,000 UK-based domestic rooftop solar panels over the years. At this time, we secured an interest rate of around 9% on a senior secured basis. But as the sector became very popular over the year and the margin for senior lending compressed, Gravis introduced new senior lenders and we moved to subordinated debt in 2011 with a coupon between 9% and 13%. So we had two different loans at this time. Our senior loans, which were receiving a coupon of 9%, was refinanced with an all-in margin of 3% with these new senior lenders coming with us. So this is a great example of Gravis moving early in a new sector.
Okay, thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you on the show and thank you for sharing your insights with us. Thank you to our listeners as well. If you've missed any episodes, please visit iTunes or Apple Podcasts to catch up on DebtWired. Bye for now.